I'd like to begin in Psalm 56. Psalm 56, I'd like to go down to the end of the chapter. This is David who's speaking here. It says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before the Lord in the light of the living?" Now, apparently this is a situation where David had gotten himself into a situation where he was before some pagan rulers, and the Lord has apparently delivered him. And so as he comes down here in verse 10, "In God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid. What man can do unto me? Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praise unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before the Lord in the light of the living?" And that last phrase is what I want to spend time in meditation upon this evening, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. So he is anticipating, because he's received deliverance, that he is understanding that he has a purpose in relationship to being rescued from this situation. And the word walk is a key word that I would like to dwell on momentarily, in that this is a word of action. He isn't saying that I may sit before God in the light of the living, although there are occasions when we would be in that situation. But when we're talking about walking, this has to do with moving from one place to another, and that there would be effort involved in this, that there would be motion involved when you're walking. There's actual movement, motion taking place. And so this idea of walking is a very important idea. And when it's talking about before God, I'm of the opinion that this particular phrasing here has to do with the idea that your children maybe in days gone by played before you. It was in the realm of observation. It was in the realm of seeing and understanding that you're being observed. And so he would want to walk before God. And the last part of it is in the light of the living. We have two things that are involved here when we're talking about living. The contrast to that is not being alive, and usually the idea is that if we're not alive, there is no light. When we are alive, there is light. And so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. He's regarding here, I believe, the concept that he is alive, and that this is not a place of darkness that he would be involved in. Let's go to 89. Psalm 89. In Psalm 89, we would go to verse 15. This is a long psalm, so I'm not going to jump into too much here. It says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound." The joyful sound be related to justice and judgment in verse 14. Verse 13, "Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk." So there's a result of this knowledge, as a result of this experience in which they have entered into, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Now, when we're saying they shall walk, this isn't the idea that they kind of are involved in this or involved in that, and all of a sudden they shall walk. It's not. I see here that it's more than just an incidental event that takes place. That this is something that suggests that they are walking because there is a purpose and there is a calling and a relationship. They shall walk. It's maybe in relationship to a command. This is in relationship to a directive that they are involved in. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Now, we understand, as we would read through the early books of the Old Testament, that the countenance of the Lord, when he looks upon Israel, perhaps would be known in the nighttime as the pillar of fire, whereby he would light their way, he would keep them warm, perhaps protect them in a sense, but also the countenance of the Lord would be upon them even as they were in the daytime as they traveled, and they knew where they were going. And so this is the idea that they shall walk in this relationship. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 2. In Isaiah 2, this chapter 1, 2, 3, 4 in this area has to do with two basic subjects that I would see here as a kind of a general theme that's going through here. We find here that in Isaiah like in verse 2 of chapter 2, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord shall be established upon the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills. All the nations shall flow unto it. Now, this is, generally speaking, we're talking about in the last days. That would be days yet ahead of us. And we would see that if we were to check the greater context, it would speak of like the in the last days, or the day of the Lord would be thought of even in these passages. It would speak of the coming judgment that would be there, and then it would appear to speak in regard to the millennial kingdom that would be involved there, and that would be described. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top. When we get to verse 5, after he shall judge among the nations in verse 4, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And so here's a call that is made to the house of Jacob, to those who have survived and made it through the judging that has taken place, and then he is setting up the kingdom, where it talks about in verse 4, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And so this would look forward to that period of time. O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. There apparently is an option, a possibility that they were not or might not have been doing that altogether. And there's a call now to come into full obedience to this, and they are to be involved in activity. The activity would be suggested even with the plowshares and the pruning hooks and things like that. But let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore, thou hast forsaken the people of the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines. And they pleased themselves in the children of strangers. And so we see that they weren't walking. They're called to walk in the light of the Lord. So there's a degree of holiness that's involved here that we need to keep in mind here, that the walk was in relationship to holiness, but it was also in relationship to a particular activity that would be of the Lord's pleasing. This was an action. This was a move from one place to another. This was a change that they were to be involved in. There is a contrast to this in Isaiah 50. In Isaiah 50, verse 11, in verse 10 it says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon God." Now, with this in mind of those who walk in a relationship of light as composed to those who walk in darkness to have no light, they have a substitute that they try to manifest, they try to put together when they're not walking in the light of the Lord, they're walking in darkness. "Behold," verse 11, "all ye that kindle a fire that compasseth yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow." So we have the light of the Lord, and then we have self-generated light. And this has to do with those who would say, "I am in the light of the Lord. Look, the sparks are here. The light is there," in that sense, but it's self-generated. And because of this, they shall lie down in sorrow. So we need to be careful. We understand when we're walking, we don't walk in the imagination of our own hearts and the light of our own soul, but we walk in the light of the Lord and in that which is knowledge and understanding that's provided by the Lord. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8. In John 8, verse 12, this is a passage that's quite familiar to us, but this is continuing the theme. "I am the light of the world," says down there and further on down. "He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So we're having a repeat of the idea, the light of the living, the light of life. We're comparing the darkness that is involved there, although they might kindle fire, there are sparks and such, that flash up. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." So walking has an order that's related to it. It's something that is not haphazard, it's directed. And so, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. If we walk in darkness, we're not following. That's basically a reverse conclusion that we can have. He that followeth me not, He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so there's a result that would be involved here that has to do with life. And then we go to chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 9. "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world." Verse 9 and 10. If a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." I think the concept that's involved there has to do with this, is that if we're in the light of the Lord, such as Isaiah 2:5 would talk about, it's going to be day. we're going to have direction. We're going to see where we're going, and it's going to be of great benefit. But if a man walk in the night, the consequence is he stumbles because there is no light in him. No light in him. Now, that's pretty obvious when we leave here in the wintertime and head down to the other end of the building. If someone goes first and shuts all the lights off, the probability of you stumbling, running into one of those doors that are closed, or maybe one of the doors that are left open, like in the women's bathroom, you walk down through there and all the lights are off, there's going to be stumbling. There's going to be difficulty that's going to take place. If we're going to walk, we have to have God's word in front of us, before us, to take care of all of this. Otherwise, it's not going to properly, we're going to be in trouble. Let's go to John 12. Down towards the end of the chapter a little ways, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. That's a pretty plain objective. If you don't have, if you're going to walk in darkness, how do you know where you're going? All we have to do is set you out in the middle of a field and say, go home. And you may have a general idea where you might want to be, but you don't know what kind of holes are there. You don't know what kind of roots are there. You don't know what kind of problems are out there. You don't know how many furrows you have to walk over and through. Maybe if it's following a furrowed row, it's awful easy to get off just a little bit and get misoriented and then trip on the hump of the furrow that's on either side of you and to fall. It's he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. And so, you know, we're coming into a day when Jesus is going to gather out his own and take them to a being with himself. Who's left? There's not going to be any light in that day that follows the immediate hours of there. There's not going to be anyone knowing how to have light or enter into light. It's going to be darkness, and it's going to be a time of difficulty. And this is true even, I would say, for a believer. You put the Bible down too long, and you're walking in darkness. You don't have the light available to you. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, we've been talking about darkness up to this point. Ephesians 5:8 says this. It says, for ye were sometimes darkness. This speaks of our life before Christ. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. So while we were one time in darkness, when we were saved, we had the light of the Lord available to us. Now, the obvious consequence or the obvious implication here is walk as children of light. If you aren't darkness, you do have light, then walk as children of light. Put effort into it, stand up, put feet in front of the other, and go somewhere, go in a directed path. Go as before the Lord, keep the concept of holiness there, because that's the only thing that would be involved, the importance that would be there, and have a place to go as he would direct and make sure that this is a participating effort in your heart and life. The last verse I'd like to go to is in 1 John. Chapter 1, 1 John. It begins in verse 6, actually there, where I'd like to begin. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, and that would be the Lord Jesus Christ, as in verse 3 references, is it? If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, the implication on that would be, if I would look at it, is that if I tell someone I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I say that I have fellowship with Him, and then I walk as though I'm in darkness and am not following the path that He has laid out for me, then I lie. The testimony before others is I'm a liar and that I'm not what people say I am. This is a question I've been tempted to go on the street with a video camera and say, if you were to look at someone and they said they were a Christian, what would you expect of them in their conduct and in their life? And I think I could do that with the unsaved, I could do it with the saved, and I believe that to a large extent I would get similar answers. This is what I expect. It's not happening. They say they're a Christian. It's a lie. And other people, they will say, they say they're a Christian, and I know it's true. I think it's as plain as day as to whether we're telling the truth or telling the lie. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So, walking in the light as He, and this as means there's a comparison. We just can't do it in any old way it seems right in our eyes. As He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And so, I think this is important, that this idea of fellowship has to do with an action. A fellowship is not a state of being, it's an action. It has to do with partnership. It has to do with participation. Those are the fundamental foundations of that word fellowship. And so, if there's a partnership, there's an action. If there's a participation, there's an action. And so we have to decide, are we walking in the light of the living, and how does this affect our conduct? Dear Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You that we can have this evening to share together in the Scriptures for a few minutes. Father, I pray that You would be providing as we would go to prayer, that we might be able to honor You and glorify You in all of our ways. I thank You in Jesus' name.